We're in Proverbs chapter 21 tonight. Proverbs 21. We're going to try to get through five Proverbs tonight. We may not make it, but around eight I'll quit. So we'll get as far as we can. We'll start at verse number 20. Proverbs 21, verse number 20. Since we quickly went over verse 19 last week, we'll move forward without even talking about that again. Amen? Verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Now, wise there is not wise as far as earthly wisdom, but wisdom that comes from God and through the Scriptures. But a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. And that's how God penned it down for us, and all of God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can come together tonight, and we're thankful for the building that you've given us and for the heat and for the lights that are provided for us. And we're grateful and thankful for that, that we have a place to come out of the cold where we can open your word and we can see what you have for us in your instruction, and we can sing songs unto you, and we can fellowship together. What a blessing that is for us to come together in the middle part of the week and to draw encouragement from your word and from our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we thank you for that, and God, we pray that you'd meet with us tonight, that you'd help us to see in your word your truth and see you, and God, get wisdom so that our lives may be lived more glorious for you. Instruct us and help us tonight. Clarify your word in our hearts and in our minds. And we'll thank you for what you'll do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know the Proverbs have been written not so much in a thematic way. Of course, you can go through the Proverbs and you can find many verses and file them under categories according to themes. We haven't decided to do that. We've decided to just go through the Proverbs as it was written. But there are times when you can look at the Proverbs and you can sort of see a theme in which Solomon writes here. And I'm guessing, I thought this week, it's sort of like me writing. I write one thing down. I'm going to try to write everything down that comes close to that, because if I don't, I'll forget it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I do understand that the Bible is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and all of the writings were superseded by Him. But you know what I'm saying. I think we can see a theme in these four or five Proverbs that I want to try to go through tonight. The theme is, I think, that there is great benefits for all of those who will invest in the wisdom of God. And I'm not talking about just eternal benefits. There are eternal benefits, but I think there are earthly benefits for those who live their lives according to God's Word. I just think that if we will invest our efforts into living as close to the Word of God as God allows us and enables us to do, our lives will be much better. So I want to try to hammer that point out through these Proverbs tonight. So let's begin by looking at verse number 20. And I'm calling this proverb the prosperity of wisdom. The prosperity of wisdom. And I don't want you to think I'm preaching a prosperity gospel, but it seems here that there is some prosperity to those who are wise. Let's read it again. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. So it seems like to me there is prosperity or wealth to some degree in the house of the wise, and it is absent in the house of the foolish. So let's look here for just a moment at this truth, and let's say some things here about the prosperity of the wise. Now, it doesn't tell us here in the text how this treasure or oil was obtained. We're thinking because it is in the house of the wise, it was obtained legally and was obtained righteously. And of course, we understand that probably this was obtained through hard work and much effort, maybe through some meticulous saving and some wise putting some money back, and probably through some self-discipline in the consumption of the money. But what we must understand, ultimately, it's not the hard work, it's not the wisdom in saving, it's not the self-discipline, but it is the blessing of the Lord. We have what we have because God has given us that. God has blessed us and God has provided for us, and He has promised that He will provide all of our needs. Amen? And He is such a great God. He normally gives us more than we need so that we can help others who are in need. And so what I want you to see here, that the house of the wise has treasure and has oil, and that is because of the blessing of God. It is a house who has sought to walk in obedience to the precepts of God, and therefore God seems to bless that kind of movement, amen? Providing for them, giving them what they need, oil and treasure. So there is a blessing of God. It is a wonderful thing to look at our lives and see how God has blessed us. We don't deserve that, do we? But you know, it seems like the more you try to obey the Lord, the greater we feel His blessings on our lives. Amen? The blessing of God. And then the behavior of the fool. He says here, but a foolish man spendeth it up. There seems to be also blessings here, right? God blesses, God allows things to come into our lives or come into the lives of the foolish man here, yet he doesn't use that for meeting the needs of his family or his own needs. What does he do? He spends it on frivolous things. And so he takes what may have been given to him as a blessing and he spends it, and he doesn't have the money to meet the needs of the family or the house. Have to be careful there, don't we? It's very foolish to waste the blessings of God on ourselves instead of meeting our needs. It's very foolish for us to get addicted to things that we have to have, and we don't use the blessings of God to take care of the needs that are there in our lives. No self-discipline, and so the fool just spends it all up. Whatever is there, he spends it all up. And of course, I'm just going to say the foolish man maybe has worked hard too, but he wouldn't have worked anything unless God had given him health to work. And so, if we're wise, biblically wise, if we live our lives according to the Lord's precepts and we take His plans and we understand that everything we have is a blessing of God and He gives to us so that we can meet the needs that we have, oh, we'll always have oil and we'll always have treasure, amen? And so there is a prosperity of wisdom. If you follow after God, if you try to live your life for God through the power of the Holy Spirit, if your desire is to please God in your life, I do believe with all my heart that God's going to meet your needs and take care of you, amen? Now, that doesn't mean that He's going to give you everything you want, but I believe He'll provide for what we need. And we need to let Him decide what we need. Amen? Number 2, verse 21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. And so here we not only see the prosperity of wisdom to those who are living in wisdom, but we see the pursuit of wisdom. Now, notice that he doesn't pursue the blessing. He pursues after righteousness. Do this. You know, a lot of times people tell us, boy, we need to pursue the blessing. Give and God will give back to you. Well, give and God will give back, but it may not be monetary return. If you're giving to get, that may be the wrong motive in giving. Give because you're being obedient. Give because you understand that everything has been given to you. See, he says here, he who pursues not blessing, he who pursues righteousness and mercy or loyalty findeth life and righteousness and honor. So let's look at the object of pursuit. This proverb holds forth that there are tangible rewards for one who walks in wisdom. And the rewards here, he doesn't say are monetary. He says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy finds what? Life and righteousness and honor. Do you know what's greater than material wealth? Righteousness. And life and honor. Those who pursue or follow after righteousness and mercy will find these things to be true. I just think it's a problem when we pursue after that which we desire, that which will satisfy the flesh, as in blessing. Pursue after righteousness, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. Seek first God. Seek first Him. And then those other things will be given to us by God. So the object of the pursuit is not the blessing. The object of the pursuit is righteousness and mercy. Now look at the obtaining of the pursuit. When a person stands rightly before God and deals faithfully with God's commands, deals faithfully with his neighbor, right? Because that's part of the deal too, right? But when we walk in righteousness and when we are following or pursuing after righteousness, what do you think would be that which would satisfy us to get? Well, think about it. You're pursuing after righteousness, so what would satisfy you to get? Righteousness. You with me? So here's the deal. Someone who's walking with God pursuing after righteousness, when they receive righteousness, they are satisfied. Or in other words, let me put it this way. The man who seeks after righteousness, when he does the right thing, when he is in obedience, his obedience is satisfactory to him. He's pleased his God. He's walked with his God. He's obeyed his God. And there, that is satisfaction. Whether God gives anything or not. So God, he finds those who pursue after righteousness, those who follow after righteousness, find righteousness. They obtain righteousness. They obtain life and they obtain honor. When you seek after God's righteousness, He guarantees that not only will you find it, but you'll be fully satisfied in it. Amen? You know, there is something about doing God's will and doing God's commands that bring a certain satisfaction to your heart, even when it costs you. Say amen. You know, we were talking this afternoon, and me and another fellow, we were talking about a person we know who basically doesn't do anything that doesn't sort of offer any advantage to him. If it doesn't bring advantage to him, he just doesn't do it. And I said this afternoon, well, there's much that we would do that would bring advantage to the kingdom that may not bring advantage to me. Amen? But isn't that more satisfying to do that for the kingdom, for the advancement of the kingdom, and for the honor of the Lord? Isn't that much better than what would bring me any kind of advantage? You see, it comes to the point that it doesn't matter where we are recompensed or not. We have obeyed the Lord. We have sought after that, and once we have that, we are satisfied. Amen? Verse 22. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. So we've seen here the prosperity of wisdom, and then the pursuit of wisdom, and now we see the power of wisdom. The power of wisdom. Again, a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Now the idea here is that there is a raid against wisdom, a great many things. And what Solomon seems to be alluding to here is the idea or the illusion, the imagery of an armed military conflict that is employed, and instructions are given here in our life in general. So what is pictured here is this towering city and these fortified places. And you understand that a city did that so that they would feel strong and secure. So, here's the problem. Once you have fortified walls and a fortified city and you have an army, what typically happens is your confidence is in those things. Amen? And not in wisdom. And so, here is the advantage of wisdom. The man scales the city. He scales the walls of the city and he looks and he sees the walls and he sees the armies and he sees all of the array of the machinery of war that may be there, and yet the man of wisdom sees that with all of their artillery and all of their advantages, wisdom has a further advantage over that, because wisdom, God's wisdom, has no weakness. There is weakness in walls. There is weakness in artillery. There are weakness in guns and in armies. There is weakness in all of those things. But there is no weakness, there is no vulnerability when we have the wisdom of God. Amen? City of Jericho, fortified with walls. Amen? And an army, to the point that they have little fear. You with me? And then God tells the Israelites to circle the city for 7 days, and on the seventh day, circle it for seven times, and shout, and the trumpet will blow, and the walls will fall down. Now, how silly is that? You say, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. There is no weakness in what God said. None. In a matter of fact, when you look at those walls, you say, they can't be penetrated. We can't get through them. And the wise man says, those walls cannot keep us out if God desires for us to go in. Amen? And so here the idea is, the advantage of wisdom over every other thing is that there is no weakness, there is no vulnerability in wisdom. Obey it. It has no weakness. Depend on it. It has no weakness. And anything other thing that you would depend on, any other thing that you would put your confidence in, any other strength that you would think would be strong, has weakness. And so we see the accomplishment of wisdom. The man scaleth the city of the mighty. He sees all that they have, and yet he sees the weakness, and he casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Can you imagine, just for a second, can you imagine the people of Jericho laughing at the children of Israel? What are these idiots doing? Walking around the city. All right? Can you imagine they get up early and they say, it's about time for them to walk around the city again. Let's get out there and let's scorn them. Let's taunt them a second time. Amen? And they do that, and here they come the last day, and they're just walking around seven times. And can you imagine how funny they think all of this is? And yet, that which they have confidence in falls flat on the ground to the wisdom of God. Amen? So, he casteth down the strength of the confidence. Listen, if you walk in the precepts of God, if you will walk according to the wisdom of this book, you have no weakness in this. This is true. This is right. No matter how silly it may seem, obey it and you will have victory in your life. Amen? The most formidable strongholds in our day are those who are those that come to our mind. Doubts and fears and things like that. You know this, in Christ, you are a conqueror. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror in Him. And every single word of this book is true. And there's not one thing in this book that you can't follow and be on the right path. Amen? No matter how the world says we're so silly. Amen? If they can walk around a city seven times and it fall down, I think I'm going to go with the Word of God. Amen? The power of wisdom will outperform might and military strength and social power. It will overpower all intellectual strength. Listen, the Word of God. Follow it. There's power in that. Verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And somehow God penciled in, this is for you, Pastor Mike. Amen? Now watch this. We have the prosperity of wisdom, the pursuit of wisdom, the power of wisdom, and then we have the protection of wisdom. If you're wise, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. If you walk according to the Word, you'll walk away from a lot of trouble. Amen? Now notice what he says, the caution of his speech. He who keepeth his mouth and his tongue, what's that mean? Means the better off you are will be the less you speak. Amen? The less you talk, the less trouble you'll find yourself into. Amen? We must guard our words. We must guard our tongues. Even when we feel we have something to say, even when we feel we must defend ourselves, even when we feel that we must somehow make our point known. There are some times that you just need to be quiet. Amen? Silence at times is golden. I deal with kids. You know, kids can say the most hurtful things. I mean, they can just cut right to the quick. And I have to deal with these kids. I have to, you know, try to somehow try to convince them that saying these things is not going to be profitable and not helpful and not kind and not honoring to God. And so here's what I try to tell them. Here's what I say. You can think those things, you just can't say them. You think whatever you want to. I don't know what you think, but you can't say it here. Amen? Because when you say it, now I'm involved. You think it, I'm not involved. You can just think it all you want to. Just don't say it. Amen? Maybe we need to take that advice sometimes. Think it all you want. Just don't say it. Right? Be careful that our speech is helpful and truthful, and even when it's truthful, sometimes you don't have to say it. Amen? Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue, watch this, keepeth his soul from trouble. So there is the caution of his speech, there is the care of his soul. Now the soul here, of course, you understand is the very center of the man, who the man is. The idea here of the troubles is pain, as in childbirth. If you keep saying things that shouldn't be said, or you keep talking when maybe you shouldn't talk, you're going to cause yourself great pain. Amen? One who keeps prudent track of his words guards his soul from trouble. Now, I just want you to think a minute of the trouble that you may have gotten into simply because you couldn't stop talking. Have you ever been there? The Holy Spirit says, don't say that. And you push the Holy Spirit aside and say that. Right? Because you've been offended, or because you have been hurt yourself. Well, the more we say, the more potential troubles we'll have. Amen? So the reminder here is to keep your words few. Keep them helpful and truthful, and you won't bring so much trouble into your life. Amen? That is a lesson I'm learning. God has really been dealing with me here in the book of Proverbs. And I'm doing better on that. There's a lot of things that come about that I want to say a lot. I do. I want to say a lot. But a lot would not be helpful. And each time that I think that to engage my tongue, the Holy Spirit reminds me of Proverbs. And Proverbs has sort of been a bridle on my tongue. And I'm grateful and thankful for that, because God only knows the trouble that I have been spared because of the book of Proverbs. Amen? So keep watch over your lips. Don't open the door all the time. Don't leave the door open. And it'll keep your soul out of a lot of trouble. Real quickly, number 5, the pridelessness of wisdom. I think the opposite of wisdom is pride. He says here, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. So I think the very opposite of wisdom is pride. Now, if we look at the word proud and haughty here, and even scorner, proud, haughty, a haughty scorner, the idea is one who dismisses the things of God, doesn't listen to the things of God, doesn't follow the way of God. He is careless toward others because everything is about him. He is consumed with himself and his own family and his own things, and so everything is just sort of turned inward to him. He's proud, he's haughty, he's a scorner of the things of God. And so if it does not benefit him or please him or help him. He's not interested. He's proud. He's not wise. And it's that kind of attitude that is not wisdom. It's that kind of attitude when we know more than God knows. Right? We know when we dismiss what God says, don't we really say we know more than God knows? When we do things differently than the Bible prescribes, aren't we saying we're smarter than God? Right? Even when we do it in a church setting, we do it differently than the Bible says, well, we're smarter than God now. That's pride. That's the opposite of being wise. It's an attitude of pride. But notice the actions of pride. He dealeth in proud wrath. What's that mean? He doesn't care who he hurts. He doesn't care whose heart he stomps on. He doesn't care about your preferences. He doesn't care what you think, only himself. Amen? And listen to me. There'll be a day when God will scorn him. Yes? There'll be a day when God denounces him. So pride will keep us from being wise and will keep us from acting wisely. So are there benefits to following after the things of God? Yes. For the house of the wise will have all that they need. Amen? And if we're wise with those things that God blesses us with, God will meet all of our needs. Following after God is rewarding if we're pursuing after righteousness, because if we're pursuing after righteousness, we'll find righteousness and life and honor. Amen? We'll be satisfied in pleasing the Lord if that's what we're truly living our lives for. If we're living our lives to get things, we'll always be dissatisfied until we get things. But if we're living our lives to please God, then that's what will be satisfying to us. There's power in wisdom, knowing that all other confidences that we could place our confidence in are faulty and weak, and only God's word and God's wisdom is without weakness and will accomplish victory over all other things that we could put our confidence in. If we're wise, we'll keep ourselves from much trouble if we'll guard our mouth and our tongue. It will protect us from troubles. And then pride is the opposite of wisdom, and wisdom is always pridelessness. Amen? Great benefits. I think the life of a Christian who's following after the things of God will have a good life. Amen? Not suffering free, not persecution free, but him and his Lord. It will be a beneficial life. Amen. You know, sometimes people say this: you Christians are missing out on everything. And I want to tell them, this Christian ain't missing out on nothing. Amen? Because me coming to church on Wednesday is more satisfying and joyous to me than any other thing that I could be doing in the entire world. Amen? And you know what? Since I've been saved, I've never missed a meal. I've never missed a payment. God has been good to me. Amen? And he doesn't have to be. And if I would walk closer to his book, I think my life could be even better. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We love you so much that we bow before your word tonight, asking it to do a work in our hearts. May we see the rewards of wisdom and the benefits spiritually and sometimes physically and emotionally, and the great benefits of pleasing you and walking according to your statutes. God, there is power in your word and victory in doing things your way. And God, I pray as a church you'd help us to always strive to do things biblically as you have set forth, not thinking we have more insight or more intelligence than you. But help us to gain the victory by obeying your word. And we'll thank you for that and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.